Scripture reading this morning is John chapter 5, verse 24. If you'd like to follow along in your Bible. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from life to death. Pardon me, from death to life.
It's really good to see each one of you today. We thank you for coming out. Looks like we have a few people that have come out of their sick beds and are back with us. We appreciate that. We appreciate the struggle that you've made. And we want you to, those that are visiting with us, we hope you'll stay a little while so we can get to know you and visit with you. The fifth chapter of the book of John is probably the least read chapter in the Gospel of John. It is one that's, but it carries the main theme of the book. And this is the faith that we must have in order to have access to the promises of God. Look what he tells us. After this, there was a feast of the Jews in Jerusalem. There was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Hebrew called Bethesda, which has five porticos. And in these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. One man had been there who had been ill for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him, he knew that he'd been lying there a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water's troubled. And while I'm going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your pallet and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his pallet and walked. Now the day was the Sabbath day. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to carry your pallet." But he answered them, "The man who healed me said to me, 'Take up your pallet and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your pallet and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you're well. Sin no more, that nothing worse befall you." And the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this is why the Jews persecuted Jesus, because he did this on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working still, and I am working." And this is why the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also called God his Father, making himself equal to God. And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, that the Father does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that is he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show you, that you may marvel. For as the Father raised the dead and gives life to those also, gives life to whom he will, the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. But he who does not comes into judgment and is passed from death to life." In this chapter, we see Jesus we have a simple, small conversation with a lame man. And a miracle that was kind of a private thing is happening. But we also see it expand out into the community when we have this conversation with the leaders of the Jews. This man Jesus asked him a question that is almost a no-brainer. We want to think, when he said, "Do you want to be healed?" Who wouldn't want to be healed? Who would rather be crippled? Who would rather be laying there as a lame person? Who wouldn't want to be well? This question, you could have said it another way. Do you want to be saved? It makes no sense that anybody would want to stay in sin. And yet we see both of these had both answers or both responses took the same thing. If Jesus commands this man to get up, it's the one thing he can't do. He can't get up. He's lame. And he's called on to do something that's out of his ability to accomplish. And yet he has to do it to have the blessing that he's going to give to him. In every chapter in the book of John, we see a reference to faith. This is the book of faith. The last chapter tells us it was written so that we would believe. Faith is absolutely essential. And it is the one thing that we, from our side of the situation, the lame man had to believe the claim that Jesus had. He also had to believe and obey the commandment that Jesus gave him so that he could have access to what he couldn't do or what he couldn't have. He couldn't be forgiven. He couldn't be saved. He couldn't be healed until he believed. The same situation he expands out to the people, to the Jews that were also there and they were arguing with him about this very thing. They've centered in on what is really a small thing. They centered in on the fact this man was carrying a pallet on the Sabbath day. And then when he finds out, they find out why he's doing it. They skip right over the healing part. They skip right over the fact that a miracle has been done in their presence. And they want to know who told you to carry your pallet. They know this. They're capable of this. This is a rule that they understand and they're going to make sure. We don't have time today, but you know how many times we've looked at this ridiculous interpretations of the Sabbath day. You know what they were doing. You know how they just kept bringing it more and more and more on other people. The same people that put the difficult burden on a lame man who's now healed and said you can't carry your bed home with you is the same people that worked up the scheme that I can walk twice as far on the Sabbath day if I leave my shoes halfway or something like this. Ridiculous things that they were doing. And it showed that their confidence was in themselves and not in God or the faith that they should have. We see the same thing here in this wonderful story. Jesus commands this man to do what this man cannot do. And so it's the man, he gets what he can't have or what is not available to him, because not only does Jesus have the power to do it, but this man believes him. Faith is a process where we believe the statements, we believe the promises, we believe the position of God, and we obey the commandments that he makes. That's what faith is. And the writer of Hebrews would tell us it's impossible to please him without it. It is the key that we have on our side of the table that makes it possible for us to have the blessings. And this man does it. He does what he tells him to do. He even completes the commandment that he tells him to complete. Now the Jews, they can't see God. They can't be close to God because of this very problem that they're not going to believe him and they're not going to follow him. So as soon as they hear that someone has healed this man and told him to carry his pallet, they're upset because he told him to carry the pallet. And then they're more upset when they find out that the healing took place on the Sabbath day. The Jews hate Jesus because he broke the Sabbath and because he called God his Father. They are not even considering the promises that he makes, the miracles that he works, or the reasonable assumption that he must be from God. Jesus does nothing without the Father. And yet these Jewish leaders are doing everything without the Father. The Word of God is not that big of a deal to them. What's important to them is they're manipulating it and using it and carrying it out. The Jews are not limited the way Jesus is. He's not going to even step out of line a bit. Whatever his Father wants him to do, he's going to do. They're not in that kind of a limitation because they put themselves in this position. So we have this promise that he makes in verse 24 to move from death to life. And as usual with the sermons of Jesus, he uses words and they have multiple meanings to them. In the beginning, God breathed life into a dead man, a man that was made out of dirt. He'd formed him. There he is. Every cell is there. Every molecule is the way it's supposed to be. But he's not alive until God gives him life. Life comes from God. Not only does God breathe life into him, he tells us, he uses the example that sin is much like death because it's a separation from us and God. But he tells us that God is the one who can move us out of sin into life. The Apostle Paul would agree with this. So in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, he would say, "You were dead in your trespasses." You know what it was like before God made you alive. Jesus is also alluding to another resurrection, his own resurrection, where he is going to be dead, put in a tomb, but the Father will bring him back to life after 3 days. And he's also alluding to the final resurrection when all the people in the graves will hear his voice. We see that even in eternity, hell is described for us as like an eternal death, and heaven is referred to as eternal life. Now, Jesus keeps referring to all of these because they all come to point to the focus at the same place. They all come to focus in that we're going to have to believe something. We're going to have to decide whether or not we believe the promises that he makes about life, whether he believes the claims that he makes about himself, and we have to decide whether we're going to obey him or not. This lame man chose to obey him. I don't know how much he moved when he started moving, but the very thing that he couldn't do, he's called on to do, and he tries. And when he does that, his faith is rewarded with him giving back his strength. These Jews refuse to open their eyes, refuse to see what he has to say, and so it's their block to God. There's one road this chapter is teaching us. There's one road to God, and that's through faith. We must believe his promises, we must believe his claims, and we must obey his commandments. The lame man's healed. Well, he's healed because Jesus healed him, but he's healed another reason is because he got up. He did what he was told to do. The Jews did not believe when they saw the miracle. They see a man who's lame, and now he walks, and they don't believe. They don't believe the words of Jesus when he says them. They don't believe the prophet John. If we had read the rest of the chapter, he refers to the other witnesses. They don't believe the prophet John, who is definitely from God, and they don't believe the words of Moses. When Moses said, "There's one coming after me, hear him," they don't believe that. So they don't believe the word of God. They don't believe a miracle that's performed before them. They don't believe the words of Jesus. They don't believe the prophet John. And so they get nothing out of the thing. When he tells the man, "Don't sin anymore, that nothing worse may come to you," what could be worse than being lame? Well, there's a lot of things worse than being lame. And one of them is by saying to God, "I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. I'm not going to believe what you promised that you offered to me." Now, I get pretty hard on these guys. I don't like them a bit, do you? I don't like what they've said. I don't like what they do. But unfortunately, many times, even those of us in the kingdom, many times we copy what they do. Do you really believe that God is always right? Do you? Do you really? Do you believe that he has a right to say what he has to say to you? Do you really believe that? Do you show that by obeying the commandments? Some of the things he asks us to do, they're virtually impossible for us to do. How does a drunkard quit drinking? How does a lustful person quit being lustful? How in the world am I going to change my life? How in the world am I going to be any different? By faith, I believe his promises, I believe his claims, and I obey his commandments. And then he does the impossible. When Paul talked about those people in Corinth that were so nasty before, that committed such horrible sins, and then he said, "And such were some of you," if we had walked around the city of Corinth and looked at those people, those prostitutes and those immoral people and those people that were worshiping the devil and those people that were idol worshipers and so deep into the world. You've been in places like that. You've seen it. You've walked down Bourbon Street or Times Square or someplace, and you've seen people that are so deep into sin. And if you ask somebody next to you, could this guy ever be righteous? Well, the answer is no. Unless we factor God into it, and unless he has faith. The key is always whether or not we're going to take God at his word. Jesus says, I've taken God at his word completely. I don't say anything he doesn't say. I don't do anything he doesn't do. Whatever he says, I do. That's why he loves me like he does. That's why we're so close. You could do the same thing. So to a lame man, he says, get up. If the man has faith, he gets up. If he doesn't, he stays a cripple. To sinful people, he says, come unto me, all you that are weary and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Do you really believe there's rest in Christ? When he tells us, unless we repent, we perish, do we really believe that? When he tells us, unless we believe that he is who he claims to be, we'll die in our sins, do we really believe that? Do we really? When he gives us a commandment that we don't want to obey, do we? Eventually, they kill Jesus, and the reason they give for killing him is that if this doesn't stop, we'll lose our place. I'll have to be submissive. I won't be the guy in charge. The surprise is we're not in charge anyway. It's like faith is something that other people talk about, but the truth is that this is it. This is the only way I can get to God. This is the only thing I can do. I have to believe his promises, and I have to obey his commandments. Do you believe that? Then why don't you repent? Then why don't we obey him? Then why don't we? Won't you come to Jesus while we stand and sing?